individual choice as to how those things work. Once we come into the matrix and agree to do that, once we come into the time matrix and decide to be part of the space-time hologram, we've agreed to adopt those basic rules. So in that sense, we've given that part of our free will over to the privilege of having the experience in the time matrix. Now, within that framework of free will, within a greater framework of fixed, let's say, predestination, there are options available to us. They're called probable realities. That means there are, from any moment point, there are at least several, sometimes many, many, different courses of action that can evolve from that point. Because time is simultaneous and space occurs all in the same place, we will see one version of the possibilities of a choice or an event. But every other version will be experienced very often by a part of ourselves. The process of coming together, of reclaiming your consciousness as an avatar, is bringing together all of those probable selves, the pieces of yourself that followed this idea or that train of development. There are parts of ourselves now that are part of various different reality systems that are intimately connected to this one, probable versions of this space-time frame that have a probable version of history. The history that we have, that we're vibrationally connected to from our moment point, was created by a certain series of choices on a mass level, on a race level. It's called race karma, if you want to look at it that way. Race and planetary karma. There's also a galactic level of karma and a universal level of karma. Karma is really the accumulation of our choices. It determines what set of probabilities we as an individual will see. When we get home and are completely out of the matrix, we've experienced all of them because we pull all of our parts together. Now, within this field of probable action, probable choice, and probable realities, there is one version that contains all the others. It's called the heroic probability. In terms of a small self, you could look at it as the self that's going to be the one that accretes or pulls together all the others. It'll be the self that all the others will experience, let's say, their body death point or their body ascension point, and they will merge with the consciousness of the heroic probable self. There are probable selves for planets and for galaxies and for universes. So there are heroic selves for each of those levels. Right now, in our time continuum, we are encountering the heroic version of our planetary and galactic karmic or choice pattern. We are in the probability where something called the final conflict drama is beginning to unfold. Now, this has been a probability or a possibility that we would see ever since the Atlantean period that I speak about. That Atlantean period, you could say, ended in 9558 BC, but it began very long ago. It began here with the first seeding, which was 250 million years ago on this planet. There were two, actually that was parallel Earth, 250 million years ago. 25 million years ago, seeding one took place here, where the angelic human race was put here for the first time. It was destroyed by something called the Electric Wars 5.5 million years ago. Then there was a second seeding. They were destroyed by a very long-term war that was called the Thousand Years War. And then there was something called the Treaty of El Anu that was formed. It was an agreement between some of the fallen Anu Elohim races and the Emerald Covenant races, the Christus Founders races, that they would attempt for the third seeding, that they would stop warring with us, and they would attempt for the third seeding to do bioregenesis for their races. The third seeding of our angelic human lineage began with the creation of the Halls of Amenti Stargates. It began with the creation of the Ark of the Covenant, which was part of the Amenti Stargate system. The Amenti Stargate system began being built much earlier. It began being built in 50 million years ago, when the whole drama of warring with the Anu Elohim from Terra in Density 2 came down to Density 1. Progressively, more of the Halls of Amenti structure were put in from that period. And for the third seeding, because there had been so much damage done to the planet between the Electric Wars of the first seeding and the Thousand Years Wars of the second seeding, there was another, let's say, bypass. It's almost like a heart bypass where you're bypassing the arteries that no longer work. that created the Ark of the Covenant, which was how our third-seeding races were seeded onto this planet. When you come through stargates to get into a planet, it implies that your template takes upon the coding. It takes on the coding, the mathematical coding of the stargates you come through. The Ark of the Covenant comes through from D12, which in our universal system is a place called Lyra Aramatana. That's our divine blueprint. And instead of going 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, like would be the normal case where you get all of the coding, it goes from D12 to D9, which is Merak Andromeda, to D6, which is Sirius B. Then it crosses over through D5, which is Terra or Alcyone in the Pleiades. Then over to D4, which is our solar gate, and down into D3, which is the earth gate. So we have the coding of the Ark of the Covenant contained within us. The Ark of the Covenant wasn't a big gold box that people were chasing around, but that was a little, let's say, sleight of hand that the Jehovian Anunnaki created in order to, let's say, divert attention after the Atlantean drama. So any recollection of things like Ark of the Covenant would have other meanings, so the races would never remember. Now, we're in a probability where, because of a set of choices that have been made through Atlantis from the period of, let's say, 50,000 BC up to 9,558 BC, that put us on a course of action that got us nearer and nearer to the heroic probability. But the heroic probability had the greatest potential of fulfillment, because it had the potential for fulfillment of the divine blueprint of this planetary system and this galactic system after literally 250 billion years of warring and having this system ripped apart. So it held the greatest potential victory, but it also had the greatest potential intensity as far as what the drama would look like. It wasn't known until literally the year 2000 whether or not this drama would be fulfilled during this period of time. We could have taken another probable version and waited about 2,000 years before we had to finish this. And by then, maybe the Anunnaki races and the Anu Elohim races and the Draconian races might have been more, let's say, matured. Doubtful, but it's possible. It would have given them 2,000 more years to decide whether they wanted to play fair and whether they wanted to end up on the Christos side of the time matrix when the matrices were separated from each other. In the year 2000, some wonderful things happened that changed and locked us into our heroic probability. When we were able to anchor D12 frequency here for the first time since 208,216 BC, the fact that we had the D12 frequency available meant that the final conflict drama, the stargates would open, which meant the final conflict drama would unfold. Now, this drama is so large that from our perspective here, it can seem overwhelming at first. That's why they've given it to us in pieces. For the last 2 years, we've been getting pieces of the history so we could understand one piece and then see where that piece fit into the next. There's a very long history here that has to do with Metatronics, and it has to do with a being called Metatron, and it has to do with the Anu Elohim. If we can understand the place that we exist within right now without letting it freak us out, you know, just overwhelm us to where we want to go hide and like believe in anything except this because it's too big and too scary and too much in the drama to deal with. If we can just face it and say, boy, that's interesting, didn't teach that in high school. We can stay in our power during this. Right now, we're on a planet where most of the people are what we call sleepers. They're going to stay that way in this cycle. There's not enough time, and the drama has gone too far, too fast, for them to have time to sufficiently wake up and begin to understand these things. There are so many people that are absolutely addicted to dogmas because they've been told that's the way it is. Their generations before them have been told that's the way it is. They find their race identity through identifying themselves with any particular dogma. There are people in these regions that identify with the Olympian God dramas and all of that. There are the Christians that identify with the Christian dogmas. There are the Muslims that identify with the Muslim dramas, etc., etc., etc. If people could step beyond the dogmas and look for what the dogmas were originally intended to lead them toward, they would begin to look inside themselves. But their dogmas have taught them to be afraid of themselves. They've taught them that their God is outside and that they have to grovel in order to even get audience with that God. That's an illness. It's an illness like a virus that was given. That virus takes a while to cure, just like a computer virus. You can't just push a button and it's gone. Sometimes you really have to heal that program before the virus goes away. The races on the planet now are in no way prepared to hear the things that you're listening to now. But there are some, like you, that catch a little bit of information here or there, and it resonates. Say, I want to find out more about that. You guys are the courageous ones. You want to know. You don't care what book you have to throw in the trash. You want to know what the truth is because you have a feeling for connection to God. You have a feeling that came with you in this lifetime and in many others, and that feeling that guided you. You wouldn't have that feeling if you didn't have some degree of a Christos spark at birth. That means even if you started out as an Illuminati race person in one of the earlier dramas, you have managed to bring enough of the bioregenesis into the DNA, where you have at least some of the 12 subharmonics and some of the strands, or you wouldn't relate to this material at all. It would completely turn you off, and you'd probably hate the messenger, you know, like a lot of people out there do. Now, when we get into Metatronics, Metatron, who is Metatron? Where'd that word come from? Metatron is the name of a family collective. It's a family collective out of an entity. Now, an entity is something above a Rishi, the first level of ascended masters, consciousness collective. There's an entity called Giovanni. Giovanni was an entity in good standing, as most entities are. Giovanni was part of the collective that created the Christos founders races that seeded this time matrix 950 billion years ago. It was the groups of Elohim that were commissioned to Stargate 11, which was Avion in Lyra. They were commissioned as the guardians, the Christos founders guardians of Stargate 11, that became convoluted, code convoluted, which began their downfall, both genetically, template-wise, and of consciousness. That particular group were out of the entity called Giovanni. Because of the fall that took place, the genetic fall and the creation of the black hole that I'll talk about in a minute, it was created 250 billion years ago, the entity Giovanni fell. Because there's a law of physics that applies. If you are an ascended master being, you have your pieces up there, your parts of self stationed out of the time matrix. You send in X amount of energy of yourself into the matrix. If you sent in, and most don't, but on occasion, as an ascended master collective will send in more than a natural proportion of its energy into the matrix, say for a salvage mission. If the salvage team you sent in goes down too, it takes the whole collective down. So there was an entity that fell as a result of what took place 250 billion years ago. 250 billion years ago in Lyra, there was something called the... Oh boy, what did that do?
The stomach doesn't like...
Lyra and Elohim Wars.
I just brought you to show you.
250 billion years ago, an event took place in the Lyra star system, the cradle of Lyra, with the Christos founders races, the races from Stargate 11, the guardians of Avion Gate 11, and the guardians of Gate 10, which is Vega Lyra, begin to war with each other because both of them suffered code convolution. The Omicron Draconian races, who were of the Seraphi Seraphim, were the Gate 10 guardians, and a particular group out of the Giovanni entity of Elohim were the guardians of Gate 11. Both of them were getting a bit out of hand as far as taking a free will concept and literally turning it in on itself and becoming authoritarian. Because free will and authoritarian dictatorship do not go hand in hand. They are in direct opposition. Both of them began to play that game with each other. And after a while of the D11 Elohim pushing the Draconians around, the Draconians managed to evolve in a certain way that they were a bit stronger. So they began to take back territory. They began to push back. And at this point, the Elohim commissioned High Council, which were the ones who were guardians, the Elohim, the Elohai Elohim, who were guardians of Gate 12, and they said, these guys are out of control. We want you to destroy them. And we said, excuse me, we don't destroy anybody. By the way, did you notice that you've been out of control for a while, too? Why don't we all sit down and figure out how we can help both of you heal? They didn't like that answer. They threatened High Council that if you don't destroy them, we'll destroy them. And not only that, we will destroy your gate and you as well, and we will take over the Matrix. That was a very sick decision to make. It was a choice that was made because they had an idea. These were Creator God people. These were Elohim that knew just almost as much as the other Elohim. They knew that if Source could create using the template that we talked about yesterday in the Dance Floor programs, where you have 15 spheres, well, what if you took just 7? They knew there was a way to bend the mathematics, which would bend the light and the sound and the scalar waves into a form that could actually repel itself and cut itself off from the natural matrix. It would still exist within the entire matrix, but it would be their own system. They decided they wanted to turn this time matrix into that, which was a direct violation of something called the Emerald Covenant. The Emerald Covenant was the original agreement that the Giannis Ascended Masters agreed upon when they decided to create this time matrix together. It was a free will system, and it was built upon the Law of One, which is acknowledgement that we are all of the same source and that loving co-creation is the only sane and natural way of being in an understanding of yourself as part of the One. That was the original tenets and precepts by which this matrix was created. The Elohim of Gate 11 decided that they were going to do it different. They were going to break that covenant, and they were going to destroy the races who wouldn't cooperate with them, and they were going to take it over and run it their way. The only thing standing in their way of doing that were the Elohai Elohim of Gate 12. They could dominate the things lower in coding than them. They could, when push came to shove, use their ability to run higher frequency because they had the D11 coding. The Seraphi Seraphim had D10 coding. So they could, if they wanted to, use that superiority and ability to run frequency to get rid of the Draconian races. But they would have a hard time doing it to get rid of the Elohai Elohim races because they had D12 and higher capacity. But there is a way to turn the natural physics of creation in on itself. If you can think of the Kathara grid and the Stargate systems as a conduit of energy, and when energy is coming into the matrix, it spirals down through the Primaline sound fields into D12 and then D11, 10, 9, 8. Now, if you block energy at gate 11, the energy is still coming in through 12, but it bounces back, and it creates a backflow that amplifies. So you can, and it was theoretic at that point, theoretically, you could sever the connection at gate 12 and have gate 11 and down be your own little universe if you wanted to hijack it. That was their idea. It worked. And there was a choice that the Elohai made. There was a choice to defend or to allow. Now, the Elohai knew that they were eternal. Death isn't something that frightened them. They were completely beyond that. They knew that if they were to defend themselves because they had superior power capacity, that those who attempted to destroy them would literally have the energy bounce back at themselves and literally wipe them out and the systems they were connected to. It would not only take out the Elohim that were posing the challenge, it would take out the Seraphi Seraphim, both the fallen ones, and a group called the Odetokron. The Odetokron were a race of Seraphi Seraphim who had co-governance over Stargate 10, Vega, with the Omicron Draconians. The Odetokrons were the reptilians. There was a difference between the Draconians and the reptilians. The Draconians were the dragon moth people. They were the dinoids. They created dinosaur-like as opposed to snake-like. as opposed to smaller reptilian. The Omicron dragon moth dinoids were fully involved in the competition for the time matrix. They knew what the Elohim were going to do, and they decided they would do it too. They didn't petition for help. They said, fine, we'll both get rid of them, and then we'll go after each other and see who gets the matrix. But the Odetacron, the reptilians, didn't want to play the game. They were stuck in the Gate 10 system, and they petitioned for help. But because you had Gate 11 and the Elohim in the middle, in between Gate 12 and Gate 10, we weren't able to rescue or get the Odetacron out. So if the decision to defend by simply putting up a shield around Gate 12 was chosen, it would have taken out both Gate 11 and Gate 10, which could have been repaired. It would have taken a long time, but it could have been repaired using Gate 12. But those consciousness that were in those systems would be fragmented back to space dust. They'd still be part of God, as I've said. You can never be not part of God. But races that had beautiful potential, and they'd already come a long way in their evolution. They'd evolved from 950 billion years ago to 250 billion years ago. That's a lot of evolution. And they had reached wondrous things in their own right in certain ways. It was primarily because of the Odetacron, of the reptilians, that the founders chose to allow, knowing they were taking a burden onto themselves. But it was the only way that if they allowed it, they would slowly be able to heal it. They knew a black hole would be created if this were allowed. They tried to talk them out of it, but they didn't want to listen. The Elohim did not want to listen. Instead of defending themselves, they allowed the Elohim to back up Gate 11 and reverse it. And that created a backflow, and it literally shattered the divine blueprint and blew up the stargates in Lyra Arimatena. That would have to be reassembled later using the D13 and higher primal light fields to reset the pattern. It created a black hole system. That black hole system came to be known as Phantom Matrix. Phantom Matrix was originally a part of this time matrix. Phantom Matrix started with simply part of the D11 Avion gate and what was that planetary system or star system, and the D10 Vega Lyra system. But it grew much bigger than was ever intended. When the Phantom Matrix was created by the Anu Elohim, they came to call themselves the Anu Elohim, the Giovanni entity hadn't fully fallen. A portion of that entity had fallen. And because of that, it sent another portion of itself into the matrix to try to rescue the part of itself that had fallen. That was a risky thing to do because, again, it comes down to how much energy is on which side. Normally, an entity would put X amount of itself into the matrix at one time. Well, it already lost a big chunk of itself, so it put more of itself in, and there was a chance that was taken. If that part ended up getting distorted also and wasn't strong enough to pull the others back out, it would make more critical mass of reversed mess in the matrix than what the collective had itself, the Ascendant Master Collective had itself. And that is what happened, but it happened in stages. When the original fall happened, the original sin, when Stargate 11 blew up 250 billion years ago and Phantom Matrix was created, there were precautionary things put in motion, knowing that it was going to occur. There was something called the Eye of Brahman that was created at D12.5. Now, that was a little bit beyond the D12 stargate. The Eye of Brahman was a polarization refraction lens that would allow the primal light fields from the natural to this time matrix to refract through and literally anchor into the Phantom Matrix to hold it, to give it a structure so it could begin to restructure itself instead of going completely back to space dust. Because what happens when a black hole is created? A template is shattered, like a crystal that's crushed with a hammer. It gets twisted, the energy gets twisted and reversed, But if it has any portion of its template that has enough frequency, it can begin to accrete again. What usually happens in a black hole system is it accretes like-to-like frequency, but it's missing pieces, and it isn't able to accrete functionally. So it accretes on a distorted template compared to its original mathematics. The Eye of Brahman was intended to allow the pattern of the natural template of this time matrix to be put back in to Phantom Matrix. So when it began to re-accrete itself and the consciousness began to pull itself together, it would still have, eventually, after it accreted enough, it would have access to getting plugged back in to its original divine blueprint. That was the original intention. So there was a lens, the first eye, the Eye of Brahman, created. And it was created by the Christos founders and Dhyanas, ascended masters races, in order to give the beings that would be caught in the black hole system an opportunity to re-evolve instead of being, you know, blown back to space dust. And again, it was done primarily because you had several innocent races, but primarily the Odedicron, who had been persecuted by the draconian races progressively more and more. There was no way they could get out of the system, and they had always been in good standing with the Christos founders races. So there was a commitment made on behalf of them, but also on behalf of the others, because even though the Anu Elohim had gone off on their own tangent and become very dangerous creator gods, they had become anti-creator gods, anti-Christic creator gods, they were still loved, and there was still the, if there's life, there's hope, hopefully, you know? So it was a decision of love, but it was a decision of accepting, out of love, accepting a huge, massive responsibility. The responsibility of knowing how dangerous this healing experiment could be. Because if it went wrong, if it went bad, it could not only take down this whole matrix, but if it did, that would allow it to have enough frequency where it could begin to poke holes into other time matrices as well. It wasn't a decision that was made by a couple of people. It was a decision that was made through the Ascended Masters Dhyanas councils of various different time matrices that could be directly affected if it went wrong and if it went bad. There was a whole lot of them that didn't want it tried, but there was enough, and it came down to a vote. And it came down to some of the older time matrices that were much older than 950 billion years old, had been through something similar to this long time before, and didn't work. I said, okay, you guys have a good idea, sweet children. You really, really, really want to try it. Now, you know, you've looked at what could happen. The outcome, if it's successful, we will look up to you because we tried a similar thing when a similar thing happened in our matrices, but it didn't work and it created absolute havoc. We would have liked for it to work. So, because we would like to know where we went wrong, maybe you can do it better. And if you're willing to take responsibility, that means you don't get out of there. If it goes bad, you stay in there until you fix it, right? So it doesn't hurt anything else. So the creator gods, the Anu Elohim and the Seraphi Seraphim and the Brahmarama races that were the original three Christos founders races of this matrix and their Dhyanas Ascendant Masters collective said, yeah, we want to try. So the permission was given for us to try, and that's why the Eye of Brahman was allowed to be set up. So the Phantom Matrix wouldn't just go back into implosion within itself, because when a system goes into black hole and it begins to accrete, it will accrete to a certain point where it begins to literally pull energy from itself, because it pulls all its pieces together and it has nothing left to do but continue to pull. And it pulls itself into compaction, and it goes into what's called molecular compaction or atomic compaction, and it implodes on itself. It has to do with magnetic and electrical fields. So, by setting up the Eye of Brahman, there was an opportunity being made where the black hole would accrete, but at a certain point in its accretion, it would reach enough frequency in reverse that it could possibly be plugged in to the D13 primal light fields so it could be brought back around. It was a long shot, but it was worth a try, at least so we thought at the time. Well, when this occurred, one of the big heroes in the drama was going to be Giovanni. Giovanni wanted to make sure, because Giovanni felt responsible, because it was Giovanni's family that had created the fallen Anu Elohim. There's a particular collective of the Giovanni family, like a smaller family within a family, that was called Metatron. Metatron, at a certain point, became directly involved. Now, the Eye of Brahma was set up 250 billion years ago in preparation for, it was actually set up before they did the final blowing up of Stargate 12. That's when the decision to allow was given. Once the Stargate blew up, the Eye of Brahman activated, and it began to hold the Phantom Matrix from totally going into reversal, where it dropped so low in frequency that you couldn't plug into it anymore. And there was a degree of successful evolution between 250 billion years ago and 150 billion years ago. We got a lot of the Odetichron races out, and even some of the fallen Anu Elohim and fallen Draconian races were able to do bioregenesis and get back out into the natural matrix. There was a problem that was manifesting itself in relation to some of the Anu Elohim that were being rehabilitated, the ones that had been out of the Metatron Giovanni collective. You could get them out to about D11, and then they were what's called host matrix, because they didn't have the D12 frequency anymore. They were hosted into another collective of the Brahmarama races. So you ended up with a hybrid, because the Brahmarama races had the lowest frequency of the Christos founders races. So the Anu Elohim had the second highest before. They couldn't plug into their own matrix, so they were hosted through the Brahmarama races. But they still held a mentality, even after they would undergo hosting, of dictatorial-type governance. Their distortions had gone so deep, and because they still didn't have a full D12 pattern back. At D12, you start to get something. You start to get it consciously. You start to feel it. We are all one. That means I am you and you are me. That means I treat you the way I would want to be treated. That means we cooperate and not fight. Without the full D12 pattern, that cognition cannot fully come in. So they still didn't have that cognition. They began to pose a danger. Too, even when they'd be hosted out, they're posing a danger to the Brahmarama races. So there was another decision made, and this is where Metatron came in full force. There was another lens put in, another polarization refraction lens. The original one stayed, the Brahmarama, or the Brahman, the Eye of Brahman stayed. That was to hold Phantom Matrix intact. This other lens that was called the Eye of Yahweh, or Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, was put in. It was the Metatronic Eye. It was put in to allow a shortcut. So the races, the fallen Anu Elohim races, because they were still posing a danger, where they could do a shortcut. They didn't have to make it all the way up to D12. They could do a shortcut into another matrix that was actually more authoritarian. It was not a matrix that was originally created on a free will system. It was a healing matrix, almost like how you look at our prisons for violent criminal type people. And it was agreed, the Metatron and the Giovanni entity agreed that their races needed rehabilitation, more strict rehabilitation. They were still not capable of functioning fairly in a free will system. They would abuse if they were given power. And because of that, the Metatron collective created and were permitted to create the Eye of Metatron, or the Eye of Yahweh. They're one and the same. This lens was supposed to, it was positioned at D11.5, which is between gate 11 and gate 12. All right, so it wasn't as high up in frequency as the Eye of Brahman. And it was they would be able to evolve and get that mathematical coding, and then it would take them over into another matrix system. And it was actually another black hole system that had made some progress. It was the original one, from way back that the other time matrices, the other Yanis, ascended masters, had said, well, we tried and it didn't work. Right. They were still trying to heal and rehab that one. And there were certain portions of it that were rehabbing. They were partially successful. So it was decided by the Metatron entity and its Giovanni collective and the Ascended Masters collectives that the ones that were causing problems, they could, you know, for the Brahmarama races, would be hosted out into this matrix where they could finish their evolution there. All right. This was originally supposed to be an evolutionary shortcut, because in certain terms, if they were successful there, it would take them less time to evolve back into full ascended mastery than if they stayed here to fully regenerate the Christos template. There were certain perks for them to go. It was originally called the Path of Arimathea. It had to do with a planet or a star called Arimathzeus that was part of this matrix. Now, Arimathzeus, at the time that these decisions were made to allow the Eye of Metatron to be put in, Arimathzeus was kind of like a crown jewel in that particular fallen matrix, because it was beginning to get its D11.5 frequencies back, where it was this close to being able to go back into being reversed to a D12 natural pattern. So there was this chance taken by putting in the Metatronic Eye, or the Eye of Yahweh, that would create a link between that system. It was supposed to be a one-way link. You could go this way, but they could not come this way. All right, that was to protect this matrix. It didn't link into this matrix. It linked into Phantom, and Phantom linked into here. Well, large numbers of the fallen Anu Elohim did evolve out via the Eye of Metatron, or the Eye of Yahweh. And then a problem happened over in Aramat. We call it Aramat for short. In Arimathzeus, the new influx of the still semi-distorted consciousness from this matrix got together with the distorted consciousness from other systems in that matrix and invited them up to Arimathzeus. And together they took over Arimathzeus. And this created a situation for the Giovanni Metatron family. They were losing some of the guardian ones that they had sent in to assist, had actually gone into the Phantom Matrix and escorted the others out into the other matrix. And when there were rebellions over in their system, it was called the Wisedek system, when there was rebellion in the Wisedek system, the guardian races sent by Metatron and sent by Giovanni were also overtaken, and their consciousness was entrapped. There are certain ways you can entrap a being in a body, and we'll get into this in a little bit. It has to do with creating an electrostatic body as opposed to an electrodynamic body. An electrodynamic body allows frequency to move freely through. An electrostatic body keeps it circulating, where it just circulates within itself and it blocks the currents. There were particular genetic experiments done, and also planetary grid experiments and galactic grid experiments done in the Wisedek matrix that created a situation where about 89% of the energy of Giovanni Metatron was literally put into reversal. And when that happens, it creates like a black hole pulling on the Ascendant Master Collective itself. And there was a choice made by that matrix to either sever its connection completely to those of itself that it had lost. What this meant was it was going to fall. One way or another, it was going to fall. Because if you can't hold enough frequency to stay in resonance with the primal light and sound fields, with the primal sound fields, especially where the Ascendant Master levels are, that means you're coming into the matrix whether you want to or not. All right. If you lose a certain percentage as an Ascended Master, if you lose a certain percentage of your consciousness because it's embodied in things that fall, they will pull you in. And the Metatron Giovanni Collective realized it was going to go in. It could have maintained itself at a D12 level and began its evolution from there. It would have had a big chore on its hands. It would have had to sever, first of all, its connection to its parts that were in the Wisedek matrix, and then it would have had to progressively accrete frequency until it could host out It would have to host out, and it would become kind of like a baby Ascended Master Collective again, instead of a very old-time collective. The collective made a decision, and it was the collective, the Metatron Collective of the Giovanni Collective. They made a decision that they would do their fall in a certain way. They started to have, you can almost look at it as a virus. The parts of themselves that had fallen were still in communication electronically with the collective. Now, the ones that were in the matrix didn't know it, but every little thought that the fallen ones felt, the its Ascended Master Collective felt, and it began to take on the same attitudes. And one of the biggest and worst attitudes, and it's still a virus in this time matrix, is the attitude of blame. The Metatron entity, the Giovanni Metatron entity, decided to blame the other Ascended Master Collectives for its fall. It was reminded that it agreed to do this. It was the one that was gung-ho going to save the Matrix, you know, going to pull all itself out and all that. But it had enough of the influence of its fallen ones. There were 89% of its consciousness at this point saying, it's somebody else's fault. It's your fault, so we're going to pay. That collective made a decision that it would use its knowledge of primal creation physics and that it would take over the matrix, this matrix. That was originally what its fallen parts had wanted and what it had tried to stop its fallen parts from doing. And there was a little problem when this decision was made, because there was the Eye of Yahweh, the Metatron Eye, that was completely under the governance of the Metatronic entity of Giovanni. The Giovanni entity, through the collective of Metatron, turned control of that polarization refraction lens over to the Wisadek collectives. And they were able to use that display. It was already tapped into this, the phantom matrix on this time matrix. They were able to create by feeding energy off this time matrix and off phantom. They would pull energy from our time matrix, from the phantom matrix. They would use phantom matrix to pull it from here into their matrix. As long as they were able to feed off something else that had its life force connection to source, they wouldn't go into implosion. If the matrices were severed, they would go into implosion eventually. They get a few billion years of evolution out of it. But eventually, they would be a deteriorating system. They would become extinct in terms of the race identity that they held. They would go back to source as units of consciousness. And that was unacceptable to them. Now, when the Metatron Collective made the decision to turn the Eye of Yahweh over to the Wisadek Matrix, it had to be reprogrammed. The original program, mathematical scalar program of the Eye of Metatron, was compatible with this time matrix and with the phantom matrix and with source. It had the potentiality of regenerating into Christos. In order to do what they did by allowing the eye, creating the Eye of Metatron in a way, putting a program in that would allow it to actually reverse certain things so it could feed instead of just being a conduit that could take some energy, which was supposed to be the collectives getting hosted over, it would be able to open it both ways, send energy in and pull energy out. In other words, send energy in as a carrier wave to drag more energy out than it was supposed to. In order to do this, the programming on the Eye of Metatron had to be changed. It had to be changed from its original base 12, base 15 compatible. And I mean base 12, base 15, the D12 Christos pattern, but built on those 15 spheres that we talked about yesterday in, you know, the basic structure, where you have a set of seven and then another set of seven, and then that takes place within one. All right, so you have 15 spheres. The mathematics were altered in the Eye of Metatron lens to a base seven, where it was like taking the yolk out of an egg. So they would build their system, they would restructure their black hole system on the seven pattern, which was literally cutting it off from the primal light and sound fields, but allowing it to plug into other systems on their lower heavens level that were built on the seven because you have the seven higher and lower heavens. So they took the lower heavens pattern, used it to reprogram and organize their black hole, and that allowed them to be able to tap into other lower heaven systems, other Vecca systems. This created a distortion in the consciousness that was part of the Wisadek matrix. The Wisadek matrix people were doing bad enough as it was before they had Metatron get involved. They had certain successes as far as Aramatsus was concerned. Aramatsus was a planet that was, or a planetary system, that was evolving close to where it could be brought back to its Christos imprint. But once the Eye of Metatron was used and run through the Aramatsus stargates, it completely changed that. It completely redid the mathematical structure of their stargates so they couldn't plug in to a system, to a Christos system. So it not only posed a threat to our time matrix, but it totally, all the progress that had been made in healing the Wisadek system had been totally unplugged and undone. And the thing with the Metatronic system is it's permanent. Some things in physics can be undone. Some things reach critical mass, and if they reach a critical mass of distortion where there's less than 30% of their natural Christos template left, they become something else, and they're no longer compatible with their own template. That's what happened with the Wisadek matrix. The consciousness that was residing in that matrix and the planetary systems and the stargates in that matrix can't be plugged in again because of the choices that were made. And the main choice was made by the Metatron Giovanni entity, but it was made on behalf of many other collectives of the fallen ones that had petitioned to do, you know, petitioned for them to do this. You know, please, you have control of the lens, you know, give us life, give us eternal life, you know that we're, you know, we'll implode. You know, all they had to do was agree to Bioregenesis and agree to play fair. If they had entered the Emerald Covenant, they would have been able to evolve out. But it was known, and their scientists, their high mind scientists knew that if they created this artificial mathematical structure, there was a way of bending light and sound that was based on the Vesica Pisces, two interwoven spheres. Now, the natural time matrix is based on a Tri-Vecca, not a Bi-Vecca. First there's a Tri-Vecca, and the Bi-Vecca is part of that. You would go single Bi-Vecca, Tri-Vecca. That's a natural structure. What they did was simply use the Eye of Metatron as their zero point, or their one point, and build a double from there, a Bi-Vecca from there. They created artificial light through this particular synthesis of mathematics. They created totally polarized light through this process, because at least with the Tri-Vecca, you have the two polarized points that are unified through the third. In their universe, everything is bipolar. It's like having a real bad chemical day, bipolar disorder. It's a whole universal system that's structured on bipolar disorder, which implies they have extremes of dramas. They have extreme highs and extreme lows, and they're constantly in that cycle. Now, the races that were in the Wisadek matrix at that time, they chose this. They wanted this, most of them, at least the creator gods, or they call themselves creator gods in that matrix, wanted it, because it would promise them one thing. As long as that Eye of Metatron was their vampire energy-sucking device, they would have eternal life. They would be immortal. They would have the closest thing they could get to ascension without having to cooperate. They could have got regular ascension if they just, you know, decided to be nice and didn't want to play Masters of the Universe. The Metatronic bodies that were created through the programming are very interesting structures. They take part of what would be a normal living biological structure, and they take out certain parts, the mathematics that are missing, or pieces of the template that are missing, and they plug in certain parts of the template together that weren't originally meant to be plugged in together. Completely destroys the entire template when it's fully done. There's not 30% left where you can do bioregenesis to plug it back into its natural divine blueprint. It creates an atrocity. It creates something other than what was originally created in the Christos vein, and it creates something that is not compatible with the mathematics or the scalar frequencies of the Christos divine blueprint. for this matrix or any other one. So in making a choice to be immortal, they made a choice to be finite, because their immortality is dependent on sucking energy from living things, living matrices. That's why they will go out of their way, and that's why at this point, we'll get into the drama more tomorrow, because I want to get into the history. So I want, by tomorrow, when we start to talk about what this means to us and why we need to know it today, I want you to understand, you know, the history of where this comes from. But there were races of consciousness created, both of draconian, because some of the draconian races that were in Phantom decided they wanted to play. That sounds good. Yeah, we can be immortal. Yeah, we can be immortal without having to cooperate with them. Yeah, and then we can fight with you. There were a whole bunch of hybrid races created from the races of the fallen matrix. These began about 150 billion years ago. They started this connection with the Wisadek matrix. By 570 million years ago, it had become an absolute outrage. Because 570 million years ago, the races and collectives that had agreed to go into the Metatronic pattern, and Metatron wasn't being prejudiced at that point, the more we can get, the better. So they would let any of them, if the Odetacron wanted to come out of Phantom, they'd take them over there. If the Omicron wanted, they'd take them over there. What they didn't tell them is when they got on the other side, they'd become assimilated, which means their consciousness would be repatterned. They call it thought adjusting. There are some programs out there right now that teach you how to meet your thought adjuster. We'll talk about those tomorrow. But they would literally assimilate the consciousness of the being that came over into the electrostatic bodies that they had created themselves through the Metatronic imprint. They ate them, energetically speaking. It wasn't eating with big teeth and ripping flesh. It was transmuting the flesh through a certain type of Merkaba. And once the consciousness was in Merkaba, bringing it over and assimilating it through the reverse Merkaba fields that they had created through the Metatronic reversals. The Metatronic program that allowed for this artificially sustained dead living system were reversals of portions, where you took portions of the natural divine blueprint and pulled pieces out, pulled frequencies out. What was a base 12 was reduced to a base 8, which meant there are 8 sub-frequency bands in every dimension instead of 12, and there were only 11 dimensions instead of 12. This structure, and then they take that structure and then they reverse the mathematical programming on it. That was the last step I wanted to explain there. So they take pieces out, make it a base 8, and reverse it. And then it would repel itself from the natural matrices. But it had the Metatronic eye, where it could siphon energy off other systems. The body forms created through this structure are pretty awesome. They're like astral bodies, like what we might consider our astral body or our ghost body. They would have the image of the being that originally went into the Wisadek matrix and adopted the Metatronic program. So let's say if you decided you wanted to go, you would be able to maintain yourself, but you'd be kind of like ghost-like. It would be an electrostatic body, a body that didn't evolve or grow or change. It always stayed that way, as long as you fed it. And what you would feed it by would be the frequencies of other living things. Now, 570 million years ago, after many races were created within the Wisadek matrix on the Metatronic program, they decided it was time to come and get what they wanted, which was the rest of us, which was the Phantom matrix first. Because it was an interesting thing, the Phantom matrix axis. If we look at our universal stargates as one cathara grid, the Phantom matrix axis came in at a 22.5 degree angle, but was running reverse, but it was a 22.5 degree shift from our vertical axis. The Wisadek matrix was on the other side, 22.5 degree shift. We were right in the middle. So they found a way to barrel through, to use wormhole technology, which is poking holes in the natural template to connect things that aren't supposed to be connected. That's like connecting the artery that runs through your neck to the one that runs through your heart to create a bypass that doesn't belong there. And eventually it collapses because it doesn't work really well, because it's not natural. They created something called the Arimathea wormhole. They used Aramatzus, which was their D11.5 star system planet that had almost made it into, you know, return to Christic template, but fell. They created a wormhole between that through the moon of our, not our moon, but the moon of our D11 gate. Now, our D11 gate was Avion. Its moon was called Avalon. They created the wormhole through Avalon and into Phantom, so it made an arc of open frequency. That began the building of something called the Cube Matrix. The Cube Matrix is the wonderful creation, the quite brilliant creation of divine science used with an anti-Christos intention. It is a, let's say, created life field. You could compare it to artificial intelligence, really. It's created without a soul because it's disconnected from what you would consider soul. It's disconnected from its connection to source, but it is able to sustain by science. The Metatronic lens is science. This is high science used for perversion. It wasn't originally. A Metatron originally was a good guy. But that changed, and when that changed, a whole new type of creation was brought into being that was never seen. It was literally a beginning point, which is hard to do when time is simultaneous. You know, wait a minute, what begins first? So obviously somewhere, the potentiality for it existed all along in the creations that Source created when it created the Matrix itself. But I think, this is my speculation, maybe when we get all up there and we have the whole thing back, and we may feel differently, I think even Source was a bit surprised at how well that could actually, that it actually was possible that this could take place. That also implies that if Source knew that that potentiality existed and would therefore probably be explored, it also knew there must be ultimately a healing. And Source did know there would be a healing, because at worst case scenario, even if everything imploded, it was still within itself, within Source. So Source itself was willing to gamble just to see what to experience, what it could create. Source learns. It's not a static field. From every experience it creates for itself, it learns something new. Except it's already something it already knew. It's very hard to describe direct cognition of simultaneous time and simultaneous space. It's hard to... might suck some things in until it hits a certain critical mass. But at some point, the mechanics that were set in motion with the original creation will come in and reset the balance, where the fields begin to separate. The living field it's feeding off of will begin to pull away. The divine blueprint there will reset itself. And these are very long cosmic cycles when this resetting occurs. But there will always be a cosmic cycle of resetting of the divine blueprint. And that ensures that anything that became disharmonic, any black hole systems that were made, will be severed from the original matrix. That gets healed, and the other one has X amount of energy left, however much it managed to siphon, and it will have evolution until it expends its energy. And then it will implode upon itself, and it will become part of the particles, the particae, particae, and particum, that make up the dimensional fields. And what will happen then, once it's purged, is like a purification where it clears its own distortions by blowing itself apart. Those units of consciousness return to innocence will then reassimilate into the original matrix from which they fell. But there will be no memory of the fall or of what they were. We're at a position right now where a cosmic cycle is coming to ending and a beginning. The Metatronic bodies are frightening things in a way, because the races that agreed to participate in order to have short-term immortality in exchange for eternal life, they sentenced themselves to that destiny, the path of Arimathea, that was originally intended as a path of evolution, a faster path of evolution back into Christendom, became the path of de-evolution. It became the path of the Metatronic imprint, which has no alternative but to return to source through implosion. Now, there are vast races there at this point, because the evolution has gone for so long. There are many, many races that originally started out as a handful of races of Draconian, Wisedek. Now, Wisedeks were the ones that who originally weren't even part of this matrix. They had fallen from another collective and created that black hole system, you know, that ours got hooked into, and the Anu Elohim. All of these races, there was just a small amount of them from the higher density fields, the higher dimensional fields, like D11, D10. They, once they had made the Metatronic promise and they had allowed their templates to be recoded, they created spawn. They created more of themselves. They, just like the creator gods, just like Source, created the Ascended Masters, and the Ascended Masters created the Rishi, and the Rishi created the Avatars and the Christos Founders races, and they created us down here. They decided, well, now we've got our own universe. We're masters of the universe now. Now we're God over here. And they began to create and populate their matrix with more and more races, that had to feed off other living races in order to sustain their matrix. So at this point, there are many, many races there. And there's a reason in here why there's a lot of people that you can look at things that are Christic and anti-Christic, and you can understand them as part of a larger understanding that Source has, or you can go into blame, and you can call one bad, evil, and it should be destroyed. Or you can understand what it's about and where it fits, and you can perhaps feel for the destiny it chose for itself. So even though you can't allow it to harm you, you can still find love, no matter how horrific the things are that it might have done. The races of Phantom Matrix, once they became combined with the Wisedek Matrix, became a force of what, on this planet and many others, is known as the Antichrist. It is a collective, it's not just a singular. But imagine if you were a being. Now, imagine if you were a being that you didn't have a lot of memory of where you came from, because they don't give their own memory of where they came from. You were living in planetary systems. What if you found out that your only destiny was implosion, unless you tapped into other systems? What if you knew that ascension was no longer even a possibility for you? That the only way you could go home and be healed to go back to where you came from was to do it in total innocence, like a child, with no knowing whatsoever, because you'd go back in pieces. There's a terror in that feeling, the terror of annihilation. That, great, my parts might go back, but I'm not going to know it. You know? There's a feeling of being finite. And if you look around at the world we're in today, you can see the huge effect that these races have had once they begin to blend with the races here. Because most of our dogmas that we talked about earlier, the religious dogmas, even the science dogmas, are all coming from that place. They're all coming from a place where ascension really isn't an option. Survival of the fittest is one of the things that happens when a race realizes it's finite, and the only way it can sustain and not implode and not be blown back to space dust is to take energy from something else. It will. Unless it has enough D12, which it wouldn't be in that predicament if it did. If it had D12, it would realize, get it over with. Let me go back to space dust, because then I can get out of here. Then I can get free again. They can be free. It will be a long evolution for them, but they would go back into, as the basic consciousness that forms the matrix they originally fell out of, and they would eventually be able to be renewed through new forms that would be created in that matrix. But they are living a reality where they're creator gods, and they have gods. There's a couple popular ones. One is called Jehovah. Another one is called Ahala. Gives you an idea of some of the gods here. There's another one called Brahma. There's several. And these are like D11. They call them D11 dark avatars. They're avatar collectives. D11, 11.5 at the highest level of them. That 0.5 they get from plugging into the Metatronic eye. Now, the lens of the eye of Metatron was only the beginning of what became a nightmare. It's a nightmare we've all been living. And sometimes there is a temporary reprieve in the reality of ignorance is bliss. We've been living that little space since 9558 BC. Kind of like let's take a breather and pretend we don't know anything. Since the 570 million years ago, since the Arimathea wormhole was created, a whole series of them were created to link through our gates into Phantom, to link the three together. There are also massive galactic wars, intergalactic wars, that were fought over this. There was a group of the original fallen ones in the Phantom Matrix that didn't want to go into the Wisadai Matrix. They didn't want to go into the Emerald Covenant either. So they were going to fight the Wisadex. And they had members of their own that joined the Wisadex. So it was splitting up of the races. There was a period of time called the Gaian-Orion Wars. And they took place 570 million years ago, right after the Arimathea wormhole was created, when there were massive wars fought in the Gaia system, which from here is Polaris, which is Earth's density 3 counterpart, and in the Orion system, where we have Stargate 8 in Mintaka Orion, there's also something called Alnitak and Alnilam Orion. And all of those systems, with their various inhabited races in Phantom Matrix and in here and in Wisadek, began to fight. The guys here didn't fight. They were trying to defend, because what was happening were the Wisadeks were coming through and they were seizing control of various of the Stargates in Phantom. They attached Metatronic lenses to Stargate 8 in Phantom Matrix, and that was Alnitak. They attached it to Stargate 10 in Vega. They connected one of their planets to the part of Vega that had entered Phantom Matrix. They worked themselves down from 11. They had at 11.5, they had their Aramat planet. They connected that to the moon in D11, the Avalon moon in Phantom. They connected next, that was D11, 11.5. And they connected the 10 systems. And they put a Metatronic, they called them seed atoms. They put Metatronic seed atoms, which were a series of lenses, into D10 Phantom Vega. Now the Phantom templates were created, a lot of them, during the original fall, when Stargate 12 had been imploded through blocking Stargate 11. It had sent a portion into the Phantom imprint, which means reversal. It went into a reversed mathematical pattern, and they were all sustained by the Eye of Brahman that was put in. So planetary system, dimensional system by dimensional system, the Wisadex managed to create wormhole links through using this particular mathematics and crystal technology that were referred to as the Metatronic seed atoms, putting them in the stargates between Phantom and here. They linked through the Halls of Amenti before the Halls of Amenti were there. In fact, the Halls of Amenti were created later because of this. They were the natural stargates in our system. They began to seed them with the Metatronic atoms, which meant there was a bridge, that Ark. They have their own Ark of the Covenant, and it's not a holy covenant either. They created arcs of frequency that would run from Wisadek Matrix through our stargates into Phantom. And eventually, what their ultimate goal was to do it all the way down from D11 all the way down to D1, link all the systems together, and then use the power to pull both of them into their matrix. So you could pull this time matrix down, literally break it off from its D12 connection at 11.5 at the Metatronic Eye and reverse its whole mathematical coding and reverse Phantom and pull everything in them into the Metatronic imprint. That would be permanent if that were to happen. So, of course, the founders knew from the beginning that that was not going to be allowed to happen. There would be the sweep of the great cosmic cycle that would come through and open all of the highest gates and reset the D12 Divine Blueprint. What that would do would create a polarization wave that would separate anything that didn't belong in this Divine Blueprint originally and didn't have 30% of its original Divine Blueprint left because it had the Metatronic override, would be taken in to the Metatronic system. It wasn't a choice the founders made to cause harm to the ones in the Metatronic system. The Metatronic races blame the founders for this. They take no responsibility for the fact that they're the ones that created this darn blasphemy of science themselves. They sealed their own destiny when they created the Metatronic distortion. And at this point, they are simply trying to feed on whatever's available. They've done an amazing thing. When I show you this one graph, it'll give you an idea of just the brilliance, I mean, the intelligence level. You can be really intelligent and really stupid at the same time. But the sophistication of intelligence or intellect that these beings have to be able to take science. They're not just moving bodies around. They're moving galaxies around. They're moving suns. They're connecting suns to suns to suns through stargates. When you think about the level of intelligence that it takes to do that and the level of knowledge it takes to do that, and then you think about us here, right now, it's almost laughable on the cosmic game. But there's an innocence about us, our race. That's what's going to get us through. But this is where it can almost get scary if we didn't know better. Now, if we know our direct connection, we know we have our D12 frequency available now, and if we amplify that in our fields, we get those Merkabas built, we're going to be okay. We don't have to be afraid. But boy, is this one of those underdog games. You know, you see those dramas with the underdog, the little guy, the David and Goliath. Well, right now, we're dealing with self-appointed creator gods from a fallen matrix that have painstakingly, over a very long period of the illusion of linear time, created a technology. We'll get more fully into the technology tomorrow. It's known as the Beast. And in the Bible, it's referred to as the Beast, with seven heads and 10 horns, etc., etc.